Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. We were in the funeral yesterday, and this is the same text that God laid on our heart for it. And I've not been able to get away from it. Got several places we're going to turn. But I pray that the Lord helps us. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you found your place and you're physically able, I would ask you to stand the reading and reverence the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Look with us in verse number 1. The Bible says this: a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. A good name is better than a precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Children said, amen. You may be seated. As we came into Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, the Bible teaches as Solomon is writing this. And Solomon, let me say this to you in the first, as we was teaching the Sunday school class, I was talking to him about prayer and praying for different things. And Solomon was one that prayed for wisdom. Now I realize that throughout Solomon's rule, that Solomon failed with false idols and women and the concubines. And boy, we can look at all the bad, but we can look at some of the things that he wrote and gave to us that we can apply in our lives today. Solomon chapter number 7 simply states that a good name. Now, what is he meaning by a good name? Is he talking about the choice of names, or is he talking about the reputation that we bear? And I'll say this to you this morning. I want to be a church that's got God on it and got God in it. And I want to be a church that's got a good name, that people recognize that folks love the Lord at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. And that they want to see people get saved. Now, I'll say this to you this morning. We've got to be careful with our name. We've got to be careful with how we associate our name. We've got to be careful who uses our name. And Solomon began to write this and speaks of a good name being better than a precious ointment. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, he was talking about the balm of Gilead as he was speaking of this ointment being applied as a salve to a wound. Can I say this to you this morning? One thing that's for sure in this life, people is not going to remember how much money you made. They're not going to remember how much land that you own. They're not going to remember, Brother Robert, how many suits you had or how many cars you had. But what it comes down to is people are going to realize what kind of name and reputation you carried. I remember as a child growing up, and I remember those, Brother Junior, that were in church. And I remember those that were patient and kind. And I remember those who were good to me as a child and who were precious to me. But I also remember, Brother Robert, those that were ill and those that were short-tempered and those that were quick to discipline and those that were quick to have sarcasm or straightforwardness. And I'll say this to you. Some of them has done died and went on to be with the Lord. But what a memory they left behind that people feared them. Can I say to you this morning, it's appointed once for man to die, and after this the judgment. When the human body closes your eyes on this side of glory, when you stop breathing, the Bible teaches us that whether we're rich or poor, black, white, Hispanic, it does not matter, that we're all going to stand before God. It does not matter how much money you made. It does not matter how much you own. What will matter is how you stand before God. Can I say to you this morning, I know those that's been involved in alcohol and drugs and illicit things of this world, that their life got changed, and it took many years before they overcame the past of their name. Might I say to you this morning, you may serve God your whole life, but in one instant you can ruin your testimony, and that's all that people will remember about you. As he came into verse number 1, and he speaks of the good name, not only does that, but he praises something that we're awful, often fearful of. He praises the day of death. I don't know about you this morning, but I'll be as honest with you as I can. I right now, yes, I know what's on the other side. Yes, I know what Jesus is going to prepare. But if we would be honest this morning, and we were to be truthful this morning, it is not in our human nature to want to die. It is not built within us that we want to go ahead and close our eyes on this side of glory. We've got too many things. We've got family. We've got grandkids. We've got so much in this world that we love and we appreciate.
that we're not ready to leave out. But I truly believe this morning there comes a time in people's lives that you get to a place where you're so far gone and everything is done past that you get to a place that you're ready to cross over. I truly believe that. Listen to me this morning. I've heard those preachers stand behind the pulpit, and they're the same ones that would say, bless God, I'm ready to go right now. Let's get it over. But they're the first ones at the emergency room when they got a symptom of a flu. Do you know that? And they're the first ones that stump their toe, that run to the doctor. I understand the concept of the message, and I understand the theological statement that they're making. But Brother Junior, I can't help but think that on the day of death, I'm a child of God, that is far better than the years that is spent here. I want to give you some things this morning that I can't help but believe, but I can't help but give. The book of Job chapter 14 and verse number 1 states this, that a man that is born of woman has a few days and full of trouble. I don't know about you, but it seems like the older I get, the more problems that come about. The older I get, it seems like the more troubles coming our way. And boy, I'll say this, when I was Ty's age, Miss Holly, and I was growing up, boy, I thought $1,000 was a lot. Dealing right now, $1,000 would be a lot, wouldn't it? You know what I found out? It don't take long for $1,000 to get gone. I used to think that $10,000, Scott, was a lot, and $20,000 was a lot. But what I found out is when you begin to buy a house and you've got a mortgage payment, $1,000 is what they expect a month. When I was younger, I thought, man, what, I could do a whole lot with $1,000. And I find out you can go to Walmart and about a buggy and a half, and you done spent half of that just trying to buy groceries. You want to get really serious about it? I found out if you begin to work and you begin to do something, it does not take long for $1,000 to get gone. And then all of a sudden throughout life, all these problems begin to accumulate. All these stress factors begin to accumulate. My thought process was, if I could make more money, Brother Bill, I'd be all right. I found out the more money I make, the more I've got to spend, the more debt that comes up, the more issues that comes up. And you know what I found out? I'm still broke. And I ain't got a solution. As I get older, I begin to realize that there are illnesses that come about. There are problems that come about. There is sickness that comes about. I was telling somebody this morning, I said simply this, I said I'm about tired of funerals. Somebody told me yesterday, said you're the best funeral preacher that I've ever heard. Boy, isn't that a good name? I can preach good to the dead. That's the best funeral. They come by and they say, that's the best funeral message I ever heard. I said, I like to preach to the living too. They still ain't come. But they show up every time. Oh, he's going to do good. I heard him at this funeral. I don't understand why folks like going to funerals. But every funeral I go to, it seems like I got one person that knows everybody that I'm preaching. And they come to me and they said, I heard this little lady talking, oh, he does so well with funerals. You're really going to enjoy this funeral. And I thought, well, bless God, just come to church. Don't go to the funeral to hear me. Come to church. I like preaching to those that are living. But what I found out is those that are living are soon going to die. As I get older, I find out the older I get, the more people die in my life. And the older I get, I realize that I'm in a race, that I'm in a course, that I'm going to die as well. So how could Solomon write such a words that a day of death was better than the birth? Might I say to you this morning, I realize that there's much rejoicing when a child is born into this world. I realize, preacher, that there's much rejoicing in a home when a little child is birthed and that family begins to grow and another child is born. I begin to realize there's much joy, but also with that joy comes much sorrow, comes much heartache. heartache. That comes much troubles later on in life. And so how could Solomon look through the life of a man and say that a day of death that was better than a day of a birth? How can I say to you this morning, if you're here saved, that the day that you die is better than the day that you were born? Honey, when you close your eyes on this side of glory and you stand before the God that saved you through the darling Son of Jesus, when you see the one that hung on Calvary, the one that guided you through your problems, the one that listened to you through your heartaches, the one that carried you when you could not go, I'm telling you this morning, I've not seen him face to face. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to see the one that died on Calvary and to worship the one that kept me is much better than this life has to offer.
Can I say this to you this morning, as you'll flip with me real quickly? I've got some things I want to give you, and I'm going to get out of the way. The book of 2 Corinthians this morning teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, we are always confident knowing that whilst we are yet at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Paul says, as long as we are in the flesh, we're absent from the Lord, which means we're not in His presence. Can I say this to you this morning? Yes, I realize that the Holy Ghost is here. And yes, I realize that the Holy Ghost is working. But I have not yet been to the throne room of glory. Brother O'Dean, there are some things there that I have yet to see. You say, well, preacher, being saved, Jesus gives us life and life more abundantly. You're correct. We're going to deal with that in just a minute. But can I say to you this morning, as long as I'm in the flesh, I'm not in the presence of Jesus. Well, preacher, I understand what you're trying to say. But can I say this to you? In the book of Acts, chapter number 7, you'll see that Stephen, as they begin to stone him, and Ty asked a great question this morning, as they stoned Stephen, when Stephen looked up to heaven, he seen Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. I can't help but believe that he got to see the one that he was dying for, the one that he was serving. And I believe that gave him peace enough to say, forgive them for what they're about to do. And the Bible teaches that Stephen had closed his eyes and went to sleep before they stoned him. Can I say this to you this morning? For those who are saved, there's peace in the day of death. Can I say to you this morning? Well, it's a fact. As long as we're here, we're absent from the Lord. Some of you this morning, this makes you uncomfortable discussing this and preaching this. But can I say this to you this morning? Death is a part of life. And for those who are saved, it's much better. Notice what he says. He said in verse number 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I don't know, I heard a long time ago, and it was Brother Olin Barker. He said, I'm getting homesick the further I go. The longer I live, the further I get homesick. Can I say to you, I'm beginning to see what that meant. And Brother Robert, I'm beginning to get an understanding of what that text was. Because as a child, hearing an 80-something-year-old preacher say that I'm getting homesick, I could not understand. But Brother Junior, I begin to think about what he was talking about. I begin to get an understanding of what he said. You see, he went back to John chapter number 14 where Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. He had an understanding that our Savior was going to prepare a place. And he had an understanding that there's something far better on the other side. I could not help but think, and I realized, listen to me, I want to say this to you. I realize the new city of Jerusalem is after the rapture. I realize that that street of gold is after Armageddon. I realize that's after the millennial reign. But I can't help but believe this morning, just to be in the presence of Jesus, just to be in the throne room, just to see the one that died, whether there's a mansion there or not, just to be in the presence of a Savior that's loved us, a Savior that's kept us, a Savior that's fellowship with us. Honey, I don't know about you, but to see Him and to see His glory is heaven enough for me. Whether it's a mansion or not, I don't need it. Whether I got a cardboard box on Main Street or not, I don't need it. Just to see Jesus,
amen,
is worth it all. What was Paul talking about? He said, willing to be absent. He was beginning to grow homesick. Can I give you some encouragement this morning? You're not going to find help in the White House. You're not going to find help in the economy. You're not going to find help, listen to me, you're not going to find help in the world. You're not, listen to me, I hate to hurt some folks right here. You're not going to find help in Donald Trump, Hillary, any of the rest of the crooks that don't want to work and keep taking our money. You're not going to find any help in all of them. You're not going to find help. Listen, Brother Odin, Tyson's not going to give you help. Preacher, Rhonda ain't going to help you. I want to go as far as tell you this. Brother Melvin had an accident this week. I was praying for him. We have had, listen to me, we have had so much go on with so many people sick and in the hospitals. Miss Betty Green needs a liver transplant. Dad's got to have surgery. We've had so many people that have said goodbye to a loved one here, and we've had funerals and we've had different things, and so many families have been afflicted by so much. And boy, I tried to get there when I found out Melvin had an accident. I didn't see nobody, but I was praying for him. But Melvin, you know something? I can't help you. Brother Gwen, in reality, I can't help you. I can't help you, nor you, nor anybody in here. He's going somewhere. The only thing I can help you with is talking to God on your behalf. Physically, as a man, Brother Jr., I can't make a thing better. Brother Odin, I can't make a thing better. And everybody else in here, Melvin, I couldn't have done a thing for you. The only thing that I can do is simply pray for you. And I'll say this to you this morning. The only help that we have is God of heaven sitting on our side, sitting in our corner, and people reaching out to Him and talking to Him on our behalf, and us pleading with Him. He's the only help you and I have. Can I say to you this morning, he's worth seeing. Paul had the understanding he was homesick. What was Paul homesick for? I want you to notice this. Can I say to you this morning, if you're here saved, you have happiness in the time of death. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse number 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Can I ask you this morning, do you have hope? Amen. When the time comes, listen to me, your time's coming. The days are numbered. Right. Somebody was talking yesterday. I said, do you realize there's more young people dying than there are older folks anymore? Right. I couldn't understand why used to Grandma Bullard and my mama does it. How many of y'all look in the obituaries in here? Hold your hand up, be honest. How many of you say, preacher, I'm just checking to make sure I ain't dead? That's what Mama always told me. I said, why are you looking at that? She said, I'm just making sure you ain't dead. So I pinched her and I got popped. So I found out she wasn't dead. But you're looking through those obituaries to see who's died. Every time I look, listen, I don't even look at the obituaries. I just go to the funeral homes to see if I'm preaching something somewhere. But I go to those funeral home websites at least Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Brother Bill. I need to know, because I'm going to be honest with you, I got scheduled for this funeral, died on Monday, and I got the call on what, Thursday, Mama? Oh, we meant to call you before we put you in there doing the funeral. I said, sorry, I done knew it. I seen it the other day. I'm good. But I look, and you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing a trend of young people. I'm seeing people in their 20s and in their 30s and in their 40s that are dying. And I'm going to be honest with you, what scares me is the generation that is coming on for them are the ones that thought it was cool to eat Tide Pods. How many of them are going to make it to their 40s? And you know what's sad? Is some of them people aren't ready. Some of those folks hadn't even thought no more about it. Some of them folks are the ones that says, you know what? I'll get saved later in life. Some of them are the ones, Brother Junior, that says, I'll work it out when I get older. Some of them said, I've got more time. Honey, I'm telling you something this morning. We're in a race with it. And every day is drawing us closer. And we need to be prepared that the day of our death is better than the day of our birth. But more than that, we know what's on the other side if we're saved. But what are you leaving behind when you leave? I've heard people come by and talk some bad stuff about people who died. I was talking to that preacher yesterday that was helping him. I don't want to do no more funerals with him. He said the last one they had to do, they had a fist fight at. I don't know what he preached, but I don't want to be at his. And I thought, buddy, we ain't doing that here. He said, I've preached them. I've had to have sheriff's departments there and police departments. And I listened, Brother Gwynn, I thought if he gets my family in a fight, I'm whooping him first thing. But he was talking about those who have committed suicide and taken their life. Those who have been involved in wrecks and alcohol and such as that and the life they lived. And I thought, you know, when I die, I don't want them to walk around and say, you know, he lied about some stuff. I don't want people to be able to walk around and Brother Junior say he wasn't right. He wasn't faithful. He wasn't dedicated to serving the Lord. He was out doing this all the time. Or I don't want somebody to walk by my casket and say, boy, he was a great golf player. Or he enjoyed watching football. Or he enjoyed watching racing. I was picking with Paul. I done got Paul tore up at 11 o'clock. Paul, first thing, he said, preacher, you reckon they're going to race at Bristol today? I said, I doubt it. I said, by the way, Paul, I had free tickets to that race. Said, I had four of them. He goes, then you didn't give them to me. I said, you need to be at church. They were on the home stretch in turn one, too, by the way. I had tickets Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. One of the tool shops sent them down. I give them boy and Rusty those. I could have had them. Dusty said, hey, you got them? You want them? We give them to Marlon. Rusty didn't get them either because he needed to be at church. Paul said, well, preacher, it's going to rain. I could have went on Monday. Can I say this to you? What's people going to say about you when you die? Well, preacher, I'm pretty late in life. Everybody knows I've always drank. I've always doped. I want to say this to you. You could get saved today. I don't care what people say right now. Let your life be a testimony of what God's done. And I promise you, you stay faithful. Some folks will say, well, they ain't never going to make it. You know what I do really well? I just stay faithful with it. I just stay faithful with it. Hey, listen to me. Let them talk. Let them say what they want to. I stay faithful with it. Because I know at the end of the way, there's going to be some that said, no matter what come his way, no matter what storm rocked his boat, he stayed right in there with Jesus. He stayed faithful with the things of God. He was faithful to the house of God. He was faithful in working for God. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, it's not what I can leave my family. It's not what money I can put in the bank account. It's what kind of name I'm going to leave on this side of glory.
Amen.
What are they going to say about you when they walk by? I told my aunt she had no idea what went on at a funeral. I said, Miss Ella, I said, there's going to be people, and some of y'all have done this, and I've tried to correct our people in funeral home visitations, Brother Bill. They walk by, and the first thing they say, that's the best I've ever seen them. They look wonderful. No, they don't. I ain't never seen something dead that looked good. That deer over on the side of the road, Matthew, it's been laying out there, it's all swelled up and legs spread. Does it look good? You want to eat that? No. That possum has been, it don't look good to start with. And I said, Miss Ella, I said, they're going to come by and they're going to tell you Terry looks the best they've ever seen him. I said, he don't. I said, when that soul and that spirit leaves them, that's just a body, that's just a corpse. It's not even going to look like. I said, then they're going to pass by and they're going to say, I know what you're going through. They ain't got a clue. If it's a family I don't know and I'm just there, my favorite phrase is, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Praying for you. But you know what? I heard them talk about all the years that stuff had went on. People had done this, people had done that, he had done this, and boy, they was laughing about it. But the real discussion was he saved? He was saved. There were some folks that knew that. But wouldn't you like to be known when people walk by, your life's been a light, and the legacy you've left behind, they could say, you know what? He's in a better place. And right now, he's better than he's ever been. She's better than she's ever been.
Yeah.
And boy, talk about that witness. Maybe that shout in church. Somebody remembers somebody that used to shout in church. Somebody remembers somebody that used to testify in church. Some of y'all remember some preachers that used to get excited. Some nannies that used to throw the bonnet, they used to say. Brother Gwen said, my grandma. When you're gone, what are they going to say about you? His head's bowed and eyes closed as Miss Jody comes.